This is Ask Chef Jacob, Episode 5, The Science Behind French Fries. And here we go with another episode of Ask Chef Jacob. My name, of course, is Jacob Burton. Thank you for joining me. And in this episode, we'll be discussing the science behind French fries and trying to help out my buddy Corey. So Corey shot me an email and he says, so I have a food question for you. As I mentioned, I've been given a great opportunity in the food service field as a restaurant manager. I'm working as the FOH manager, means front of the house, in my restaurant while being groomed for a general manager position. While it is not the great step towards being a chef, I'm excited about it for myself. The ability to ensure standards and share the knowledge that I have and the knowledge that I have learned from listening to the Stella Culinary School podcast is extremely gratifying, and it teaches me more about cooking and keeps me fresh every day. Well, right on, Corey. I'm glad I can help. So now my question. My restaurant is part of the quality burger movement. We use great high-quality ingredients and make almost all of our products in-house, fresh, every day. We have a process of fresh-cut French fries. Our cooking process is to blanch the potatoes in preparation to use them and then do a final cook to be made to order. The difficulty that I am finding is that at the end of the night, my fry guys have sometimes 10 to 15 pounds of blanched potatoes left over. For some reason, before I started, they got into the habit of holding the blanched French fries in the baskets overnight in the walk-in to be used first thing the next day. In my heart, I know this is bad and results in serving an inferior product to our customers. Unfortunately, I am not sure of the science behind this that I can use to support my point and encourage my staff to do it the right way. Except for this one thing, which is major considering the product is not sealed or labeled. They are doing things great. During service, they adhere to our three-hour hold time, which is the standard set by our corporate entity, for the blanched fries, and more often than not, are processing them in 90 minutes or less. I've helped many of my staff grow and improve their skills, and we put out a fantastic product. I just want this one thing so that I can guarantee that we have no holes in our top-notch service. Help! Thanks so much for anything you can offer, including telling me if I'm wrong. And I have added, getting out to Stella to meet you as my bucket list. Would it sound trite to me to say I'm proud of you? Not at all. Thank you, Corey, for your great message. Okay, so let's talk some French fries here. Excuse me, and the gourmet burger movement, or the high-end burger movement, whatever you want to call it. So I'm a California boy. I don't know about you, Corey, but out here in California, we have In-N-Out Burger, which is amazing. I love me some In-N-Out Burger, and dollar for dollar, one of the better burgers on planet Earth. Yes, I say it here and now. However, with that said, their fries suck. They do. Sorry, In-N-Out, your fries suck. Just the truth. And I have had some really, like, ugly arguments with my brother about In-N-Out French fries because he is convinced that they're good and they absolutely are not good. He thinks just because they have a little doohickey behind the counter where you can see them cutting it fresh and they're going fresh from cut directly into the fryer, that all of a sudden these fries are superior and he's getting bamboozled. It's a show. It's a show to make you think that the fries are actually better than they are because they're not. They're crap. They suck. I'm sorry, but I still love you, In-N-Out. Now, why do they suck? Well, because they don't go through a blanching process like Corey is describing, right? Which is very important for the overall cooking process when making French fries. And this is going to allow you to do a few things. You're driving out some of the moisture on the surface of the fry during the initial cook. You're tenderizing the inside of the fry. And then you go and you do a secondary fry later at a higher temperature, which gives you the crispy exterior and the fluffy interior, which makes the fry perfect. Now, here's your biggest problem, Corey. And there's really no way to say this without being blunt, so I'm just going to say and has, you know, nothing to do with you. But you're, but here's the thing. So you, a lot of times people, like your corporate entity group that has all of their best intentions at heart, okay? So let's take In-N-Out, for example. They always talk about everything's always fresh, never frozen. Well, that's just a bottom line lacking in scientific knowledge when it comes to food. Because sometimes things can actually be enhanced by first freezing, believe it or not. So they're better after they're frozen than when fresh. And one of the major arguments for that is actually French fries. So if you're going to make French fries from scratch, one of the important steps is freezing. And here's why. The interior, when you freeze anything, and we talked about this briefly in some previous episodes of Ask Chef Jake, when you freeze anything, ice crystals form from the water, and those ice crystals will damage the cellular structure. Now, this is a good thing with French fries because that's part of how you get that fluffy interior. So the real way to actually, or the best way to cook French fries from scratch is you first want to do a water blanch, not an oil blanch. And you want to start the cut French fries in cold water and add in either a little bit of lemon juice or a little bit of vinegar. And, you know, about maybe a teaspoon per every 2 quarts. But just a little touch. And what does this do? Well, as you bring those fries up to a simmer, so you start them in cold water, you bring them up to a simmer, and you basically, you know, all the way up. So start them in cold water, turn on the heat to high, bring them up to a boil, and then drain immediately, lay on a sheet tray, and allow it to chill. Now, what that vinegar does is it helps to strengthen and set the natural pectin within the potatoes. So this allows the potatoes to hold together while they actually cook in the boiling water. And it's the same thing. I mean, so you look at other recipes that use pectin, you'll always notice that they either use fruits that are high in acid or they add acid to help that pectin set. So it's the same thing with the potatoes. So as you're bringing those potatoes up to a simmer, that acid in the potatoes will help to set the pectin on the interior, thus holding them together as they cook fully all the way through. Now, your next step after this is to allow the potatoes to cool, and then you want to give them one quick fry at a high temperature, at about 375. And what this is going to do is it's going to expel out the exterior moisture on the surface of those fries and get rid of the excess water. Then you want to take those fries, lay them out evenly on a sheet tray, and then freeze them. And what the freezing is going to do is it's going to further draw out moisture on the surface of that fry, while the internal moisture as the water inside that fry freezes is going to start to rupture the interior cells of the potato, giving you that fluffy interior texture when you fry. So the best fry has the crisp, crunchy exterior with the light, fluffy interior. Now, at this point, you're ready to rock. You basically take the fries directly out of the freezer. You don't even thaw them. And you go straight from freezer into fryer, and you're going to have an amazing fry. Now, not only will your fries be better, but they're actually going to be easier to execute, and you're not going to have to worry about waste, right? So as you have your prep cooks go throughout the day and blanch and then lay out and dry and freeze, you're going to be able to work the fries directly out of the freezer on a day-to-day basis. And once your fries are completely frozen solid all the way through in the freezer, you can just take them off the sheet trays and place them into Ziploc bags for easier storage. Now, it sounds like you're part of a corporate chain, and unfortunately, maybe your corporate overlords are still caught up in the idea that, well, fresh is always better no matter what. And if you have enough pull, what I would say is next time you have a meeting with somebody above you who has the ability to make a decision, is I would make a small batch of these fries that you first bring to a simmer in acidulated water, chill, then par fry for about 60 to 90 seconds in hot oil, and then drain. So you want to shake off that excess oil. You drain the oil, lay it out on a sheet tray, and freeze them. And then, you know, take them from the freezer, fry them, and serve those side by side to the fries that you're doing now. And do a blind taste test. and say, hey, you know, which fries do you like better? And I guarantee you they're going to like the frozen ones better. And then you tell them, well, look it, what if I told you that not only are these fries better, but they're going to cut our waste down to zero, so we're no longer throwing away fries at the end of the night? And they'll say, well, yeah, that sounds great. And then you show them your your technique, and then you show them the science behind it. Now, Kenji over at Serious Eats wrote an awesome article on this, so I'm going to link to it in the episode 5 show notes. So if you go to AskChefJacob.com, you'll see a link for episode 5. Click on that link, and in the show notes there, I'm going to put a link to Kenji's article where he talks in depth about the science of French fries and how freezing will actually improve the texture and give you an overall better fry. So not only do you get better fries out of the situation, but you're essentially cutting your waste down to zero because you no longer have to throw your blanched fries away at the end of the night. And that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. You can submit your own culinary question by going to AskChefJacob.com. Submit an audio version on that page, or if you're shy, you can simply email me, jacob@stellaculinary.com. Also, too, if you haven't yet, go on over to stellaculinary.com, register to be a member of our forum so you can join the discussion, and don't forget to sign up for a free email newsletter, which sends the best spam on the internet.